America.
Start listening now.
Oh, Danny. Danny.
Yes.
Danny, you're back.
I'm back. The audience could pick my voice out in the chorus of Start Listening Now.
Yeah.
I want you to know that I'm here, and I brought the theme.
Yeah.
Ooh, what is it? What is it?
It's news! Start listening now!
And welcome to 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, home of the late Michael Bloomberg. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
They didn't know I was going to do that.
Oh man, if he dies between now and like when the show airs, you're going to look like a real schmuck, aren't you?
He was savagely beaten on the debate stage. He's in critical condition right now. He's getting shellacked.
Yeah. I like to think if that happens, I'll be considered a hero. Anyway, we have a lot of news to get to, but before we do that, I want to mention you can check us out on social media. By the way, Danny, I'm getting better at this, so watch me screw it up now. You can tweet us at 12pointsusa, facebook.com/12pointsusa. Hit us up there. Send us an email at 12pointsforamerica@gmail.com or go to our cool website, 12pointsforamerica.com.
Yeah. He did the thing.
Yeah, see?
We don't have a .gov yet.
I'm working on it.
We'll get there.
The .nl. We'll
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope so.
If you guys are listening to us on your favorite podcast program of your choice, whatever that would be, feel free to give us a review. We'd love to get the feedback. Always welcome. That also helps more people find us, which is certainly wonderful for our egomaniacal sensibilities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to us on your least favorite podcasting resource, what are you doing? Yeah.
Find a better podcast resource.
We're on all of them, though, except the ones that we're not on. If you're listening on one of those somehow, but we're not on it, let us know.
We're not on 8tracks.com.
That's true.
Yet.
Remember 8tracks.com? Is that the only one who used that?
That was a real website.
8tracks from America.
Yeah, you literally could only listen to playlists. Yeah. It was not as bad as it sounded. Anyway, I think they're defunct now. I don't know. I got my wish. My wish came true. My monkey's paw wish that a week's theme was extended by a week. We're here for the third week of news. We got a lot of things happening.
We got a lot of weeks of news ahead of us, I think.
So much.
It hasn't been since the new year, so.
Yeah. That's this time of year, though. It's the, you know, forget the holiday season. This is the most wonderful time of the year for me.
Right.
I love this.
It really is. I feel all rosy and jolly.
No.
Helps that it's like -30 degrees in Minnesota right now.
And that I never stop drinking eggnog.
And I'm huddled in a room with 4 living bodies. So good.
And 3 dead ones.
Yeah.
Sorry. We can cut that out, right?
We have 5 new songs as of time of recording here midweek.
Yeah.
5 new songs since we last recorded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
We have one that's a long time coming from Belgium.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is the Hooverphonics.
Yes.
Yes. Release Me has been released.
The song got its wish.
The song was begging to.
you can only respect what the song wants.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I like
how
this
one.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Derek, you are the resident Hooverphonic expert.
Yeah, I've been a fan of theirs for 20 years. Boy, I was anticipating. Yeah, I started listening to them in college. That's how old I am.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Derek's old.
Screw you guys.
Breaking news, you're old.
Not on that note. Hooverphonic.
Hooverphonic, yeah, anyway. Hooverphonic.
It's very much of their style. If you've been a fan of theirs or listened to any of their stuff before, you'll recognize it. They got Luca, their new singer. They seem like they're kind of meshing pretty well together. Yeah. I think the song lacks a bit of...
Is Belgium gonna Belgium again this year?
I worry that they might. It's a beautiful song, but I get a lot of similar patterns to Matter of Time. A great song in studio, but I just... Where's the call to action? This isn't the place for it.
The thing about it is, though, they have a lot more experience than Senek, and I think they can do the staging better, and they can do the live performance way better. I've seen them do live performances. They have YouTube concerts you can watch, and they sound really good live.
Including with Luca? Because she's only been with
including
the band.
Including with Luca, yes.
Okay, because she's only been with They've the band for the last like, 2 years or so.
They've been touring pretty extensively, so she's been through the ropes.
Okay,
I mean, on that note. But on the other hand, like all the comments on the YouTube, I just kind of scrolled down and started reading what people are saying, and I ultimately agreed with everything everyone said, which was it's very repetitive, it doesn't really build to anything, and it's gonna come down to staging. And it kind of hurts to hear people say it's gonna come down to staging, which basically means it's not a very good song, but if the staging's
okay, I guess
people would vote for it.
Needs help is what they're saying.
I think I like it more than you do, Derek. I think it's a very, very good song. I am definitely very worried that, like you said, Danny, this just isn't the place for it.
Yeah.
It's total like Portishead vibes, that sort of thing. And
I think it's a I think I'm generally in the same boat as you guys. I think if we're looking at a song outside of the context of a competition, I think it's a beautiful song standing on its own merits.
Yeah.
If you're having it stand toe-to-toe against 40-some other songs, where is the call to action for people to pick up the phone and vote for it?
It's a great album track.
Yes.
I wouldn't necessarily say, oh, release this as a single, but if you're listening to an album in its entirety and it came up, I'd be like, this is a good track. I enjoy it. It doesn't get me excited. I mean, and some of their more recent stuff has more energy.
Yeah, like
more
Romantic. Their single from
great.
Last year was fantastic.
Even Amalfi Coast, I think, is one of the more recent ones. I absolutely love that one.
Mm.
And that one has a nice kind of rhythm to it. It has a nice pace, but then it like slows down at the end. It becomes very somber and it kind of comes out of nowhere, but it's really cool. And they're good at sort of shifting tone very quickly and style and speed and tempo and things and they kind of abruptly, but it works. That's kind
of
their...
I wish they had brought that
into
this.
Yeah, I wanted a little bit more quirk.
It's also in semifinal one, which is stacked.
Yeah.
It's
gonna be really which is definitely gonna be tough. Again, semifinal one has Russia, Australia, Norway, Sweden.
Sweden's in that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ukraine.
Israel, Azerbaijan, Lithuania, who
we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But this semifinal already seems absolutely brutal. And my inclination is they're going to perform it very well. They're going to perform better than Senek did. They're going to perform better than Elliot did.
Yes.
I think they have a very reasonable shot of squeaking in to the final, but from there it could be tougher. I want this to do tremendously well. It is a really, really, really good song. But
we'll see what the other countries start off.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
The road for this song is gonna be tough.
Do you think it could get in on the change of pace feel?
It could.
It depends on what's around it.
Everyone else throws bombast at us.
Yeah, it's second half of the first semi, which means it will not be close to Lithuania or Australia or Russia.
Well, unless one of those is the last in that half and Belgium is the first in the second half. In which case, you never know.
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily come back to that one after a break.
Well, I mean, just because it's in the second half doesn't necessarily mean that's where the commercial breaks are. That's to be determined.
Well, let's move on to one of its direct competitors, which is Lithuania then.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So I want you all to know that the Roop.
The Roop.
The Roop.
It's on fire.
Boom shakalaka.
Yep.
They hit three shots in a row.
That's it.
Boy, that's a deep cut.
It's good.
But this one is apparently tearing up everything right now.
Including the betting odds, which you never, ever see Lithuania anywhere near
second
the top.
Second place in the betting odds right now.
I have to side with Derek. We only have so many songs out right now.
I know. It's at this point,
still, it's jumped ahead of countries we know nothing about. Countries we've heard most of the songs of, like Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Countries that have picked songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it just zipped right up there. And Lithuania is a country that has heretofore not really knocked it out
yeah.
in terms of the scoring.
Yeah. Lithuania being ahead of Sweden in the betting odds for literally any amount of time is news. I don't mean that to like drag Lithuania or anything, because they really had a strong crop of songs this year. There were a handful that I think would have been really, really cool. And
the Roop just cleaned up, though. I mean, just the amount of massive support that they've gotten from the domestic audience, it was ridiculous. They won with the jury vote and the public televote, which is wonderful and not super common.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you look at the actual number of votes that it got, all right, so second place in the televote was Monique's Make Me Human, which got just under 16,000 televotes. The Roop had just over 50,000 televotes.
Wow.
Wow, that wasn't even close.
Yeah.
That's
another incredible figure. The number of viewers on Lithuanian national television for the show was approximately 650,000 viewers. Lithuania only has a population of about 2.7 million.
This was the MASH finale of Eurovision.
A quarter of the population of the country was tuned in
to watch
the Roop and their crazy dancing.
Yeah.
And I like the song a lot. I'd be happy if it won even. It's so weird, though.
I know.
It's
really weird.
Yeah. I had no idea this would be as popular as it is. I remember Eric asked, oh, what do you think it's going to do? And I'm like, yeah, it's not going to do that well. It's probably not going to qualify. Mm-hmm. There's no question now it's going to qualify.
There's something so oddly, disarmingly charming about it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is just the instrumental hook, like after the chorus. Mm-hmm. Just do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's a simple thing.
Yeah.
I made it sound like Clocks by Coldplay just now.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
I love glass.
It is not like that. It's definitely weirder and cooler than that. We should throw to it?
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, throw to it. Roop. The heat is getting higher. I feel that I'm on fire. The world is my desire. Yeah,
all
so that's what I mean.
Drag race.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Sorry, you cut me off.
Oh, yeah. So another thing I read about Lithuania, either like last night or this morning, I saw something about how there was a significant number of votes, like 25,000-30,000 votes, something like that, that didn't get counted in the initial result that they had.
Right.
And I remember thinking like, oh, no. Like, did they actually lose? Like, what's
right.
going on?
Oh, no.
No. If anything, the missing votes made it even...
More of a landslide.
Yeah. Now they won by even more. I'm excited for this song. I like it. I don't know that I love it.
I kind of love it.
But it's probably going to grow on me. It really felt... Derek, like you were, when we were talking about it before, it just sort of felt like one of those songs that the fandom will latch onto because it's weird and interesting and has that hook to it. But I don't know that it's going to get to the contest. To see Lithuania pull for this song with such enthusiasm is so cool. They have got to be just so excited to have a song that they feel has a chance. And I shouldn't say they feel has a chance. A song that does have a chance.
Mm.
That's not just them. I guess is what I'm saying.
You're
doing great, Lithuania. Oh, yeah, you're doing so good.
Estonia, Finland going, oh, good. No, yeah. I'm watching, sweetie. Yeah.
Not like that. It's legit in a way that they haven't been in, I don't even know, Sam, what...
They've won before, haven't they?
They're the only one of the Baltic nations that has not won yet.
Oh.
The best that they've ever done was sixth place in 2006, ironically, with a song called We Are the Winners.
That's so right.
That came in sixth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every time I hear that, I die inside.
Oh, let's play a clip.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Danny, you had mentioned When We're Old.
Yeah.
We did really like When We're Old.
Yeah.
It was a total afterthought to me, though, until we saw it on the stage. With the emotions it had. Mm-hmm. And
it gets some real high televotes from some countries.
Yes.
It played played really well in certain markets.
Yeah. The sad, lonely market.
Is this one going to have a lot more of a broader appeal?
I think so.
Yeah.
One, it's a bop. Two, they're already playing the game. Mm-hmm. The dance number... is now becoming sort of memeable. It's already sort of catching fire among the...
I can't wait to see this.
I think that it's on fire.
I think it's
Hunger Games. Oh, sorry.
But I mean, the difference between this and When We're Old, I think, is... I don't know that expectations within Lithuania or otherwise were especially high for When We're Old. When We're Old was a surprise that kind of happened as the contest was going on. To have this level of hype in February is unheard of for them. And it's
for them,
super exciting.
Yeah,
it's super exciting.
We've seen other nations have this sort of hype before. We've seen it, you know, we see it with Sweden all the time. We kind of saw it with Toy, but that was a little bit later on in the game. We definitely saw it with Occidentalis Karma.
We saw it for Duncan.
Yes. Yeah. But that was also partially because he showed his butt in the music video.
That's it.
That's all it takes.
Secret.
We didn't cover
if only
that.
They danced naked underwater.
I don't know. That dude's real skinny.
we can
yes, that's the issue.
Yeah. We can go to
a third
new song that is also going to be competing against the other two. Norway. We got a lot of first round boys coming at us right now.
Yeah. Well, this is
that's not a boy.
Yeah, no.
No, well, you know,
Ulrike.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was Ricky. You know? Is this like an Ulrike Lake? Is that what we're going?
Yeah.
No.
Ulrike Fjord.
I see. Ulrike Brandstorp.
Yep.
With attention.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What's this one? What's the vibe we're getting from this one?
All right, this one
classic
is...
Classic ballad.
Yeah, very, very classic ballad. I'm just going to go ahead and say something possibly shocking here.
What? No.
It is the opposite of no.
Oh, it's yes. This is the one?
Wait. Eric likes a Norwegian song?
This is...
Be still my
we'll
heart.
We'll see when Denmark comes if their song sucks. Yeah. And his
podcast's over. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
You're Norwegian too, Derek.
I know.
Nowhere to hide
Only
anymore.
Only halfway there.
This has, I
see,
swear...
See, I'm partially Lithuanian, so I can throw that on fire as much as I damn well please.
She's doing that weird finger crown thing like they were doing.
Now I just hear freaking Coldplay. Oh, why? Why? I did this to myself, too. Like, this is entirely my own fault.
All right, yep. Eric.
Anyway.
What's
yes.
happening
back
here
to
with
attention.
Okay.
Back to attention.
Yes. This has little to nothing to do with the fact that it happens to be the song from Norway. I'm just going to come out and say this. I think this is one of the best ballads Eurovision has had in years. I think it's legit. I don't know that Europe's going to be going for another ballad. I think if Europe decides, yes, more sad songs or whatever, this could be it. I really think that if the staging is on point, I'm not really worried about her voice. Her voice is tremendous. Mm. I don't know if you've seen, she released a acoustic version of the song where it's just, I think, her and two cellists, something like that, on a train. It looks like a train. It might just be a house. I don't know what things in Norway look like.
They're indistinguishable.
It's gorgeous, whatever it is. And
that's Norway for you.
Well,
this
yeah,
is definitely a train.
Yeah. It's Norgeous. Nah. That one's for free, Norway. And I don't know. It has the authenticity that we talk about.
Sure.
It has the emotion and the passion that a ballad like this absolutely has to have if it's going to connect with people.
We just got to see what the mood for 2020 is going to be here.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we could.
Yeah.
We don't have a complete view of what the Eurovision mood is.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we could see something like last year. Proud, North Macedonia was the only female ballad really in the bunch, and it
I'd watch
really
it just
stood
jump,
out.
Jump. Yeah. Just jump into the top 10. Yeah.
So we're getting a lot of male voices so far. Thus far it's really standing out.
It'll definitely depend on what else is there, if there are other songs like this. I will note that there is already another song like this, which is Shy from Albania.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've definitely,
but that's in the other semifinal.
True.
But I'm just gonna detract here. I think it's beautifully sung. I've listened to the song 4 times and I can't remember what it sounds like. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. It's
not coming to mind for me either.
Yeah, it's. I know that it's.
What does she
sung.
Have to do? That's a joke about the lyrics, which you won't remember, so forget it.
I mean, I appreciate the strength of the vocals. It's just not quite there for me yet, and I wish I liked it more, but it.
This was my opinion on Duncan last year. Even after his win, I was like, what is it?
Yeah.
What was it that got people to vote for this one? Is that kind of where you are right now? You're like, what is it?
Yeah, I'm kind of there. Yeah. I'm kind of there. I got Duncan when I first heard it. I was like, okay, it's subtle, but I could see the magic. I'm just not quite getting it yet. And also, maybe I'm just slightly miffed that it's another pretty girl singing about why the boy doesn't like her. Mm. And I...
Wasn't that what girls think about?
It's all girls think about.
No, I just don't like you.
Boring!
Suck it!
That's it!
Does anyone have any lotion for this sick burn?
Derek's on fire.
Let's talk about the rather checkered path that they had to go through to actually get this win.
Yeah,
Iowa'd.
Yeah, Norway, we used to joke that Albania was the Iowa caucuses of Eurovision, and then we realized that was sort of dishonoring the goodness of Albania after Iowa just completely Iowa'd themselves.
Thankfully, Norway was able to pick up the slack by completely blowing it. Completely.
Yeah. Their first round of televoting, or internet voting, basically, it just completely imploded. So they had to go for a backup.
Was it lost votes everywhere? That kind of thing?
I mean, 100% lost votes.
Oh, God.
So like there were no televotes.
Right. So they had to rely
on... They opened the box, they opened the ballot box, and they went...
Like a little moth flew out.
They went, everyone hated every song.
Well, I guess we're just going to have to annex ourselves to Sweden.
Yes. Send Reebok again. Yeah.
So when they conducted the second round, what happened?
Well, I mean, basically what they decided to do was they had a backup jury.
They
did have a backup jury on hand. However, they were voting on studio versions of the songs rather than live performances.
Yeah. It also wasn't a professional jury. It was a jury that attempted to hit the demographics of...
What?
in
the MGP watchers, basically.
Which is kind of like what Sanremo does with their demoscopic jury.
Was this like the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards that they just did? Okay, we're going to take 10 teenagers and say, do what you think your friends would do. Like,
hey, you kid, is this cool?
Did we actually get any votes? Were they able to recover them at all?
What they do in Norway is they had a first round of voting that took the 10 songs in the final and pared that down to a top 4. Then they had another round of voting which pared those down to a top 2.
Mm-hmm.
They had then a final round of voting which determined the winner. So they had actual votes functioning for rounds 2 and 3.
Okay. All right.
But when those first votes came out and the first results came out for Norway in their first round, it was a bit of a shock.
There were riots in the street of
Trondheim. There were some upsets.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have been looking to Rain Alexander's one last time.
That's the one that's Rasmussen is the last person on Earth and he's 50.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
A lot of people thought, he was going to be a shoo-in, but no, he didn't make it through to the second round.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was sort of a weird thing to see those votes coming in, but it seems like they kind of righted themselves by the end of it. So
I really don't think the outcome would have been any different. I think it was Ulrika's to lose.
Yeah, she was definitely the favorite going into it.
And I think Rain Alexander probably would have made it through to the final four, at least, if voting had worked the way it had intended. And that's too bad. I do feel bad for him for that.
Yeah.
I didn't really like the song, but I feel bad for him. He seems like a nice guy.
I'd have a beer with him.
Yeah.
It's Norwegian beer, so it's like $25 a pint. So I'd only have one beer with him.
It's also much stronger.
Yes.
So I really would only need one beer.
Yes.
I'm just really glad, despite the whole voting fiasco, they actually picked a good song. It's entirely possible they could have picked a dud just by accident or because they had connections and they're like, well, let's just send this guy.
Mm-hmm. The final vote was pretty close.
It was, yeah.
Almost went with Pray For Me by The Weeknd. Oh, different Pray For Me, my bad. That would be a coup, by the way. Norway's just like, oh yeah, it turns out The Weeknd is 2.8% Norwegian on his great-great-grandnephew's side.
And is somehow Ali Ryan.
His nephew.
Ali Ryan again.
Oh, is she going to come back? Are we going to like...
Well, we still have no idea what San Marino's doing.
In the final stretch, and we're going to...
The Penguins, right? They're doing the Penguins?
Oh, please do the Penguins.
Please do the Penguins. Just offer them anything.
Anyway.
I'll also note, in Norway, this isn't percent of population, it's percent of TV viewers, but national final got a 68% share.
Wow.
Which is...
But they don't have Disney Plus yet.
Never mind, moving on.
Let's move on to our number four. We can do Armenia.
Yeah. Chains
actually,
on.
Wait, hang on. Huh? Let's do Armenia, but first, let's play a bit of attention.
Ah, yes. What do you want me to do to get your attention? Cause
I just want your attention. So again, that's Ulrika with Attention, the winner of this year's Eurovision Song Contest.
You wish.
We'll see.
I kind of do. I don't know. My gut says Europe is going to lean towards a bop, which means the ceiling for Attention is only going to be so high. But
anything
I think
I can do to have
know.
Eurovision on the Svalbard archipelago would be fantastic.
Yeah, Seed Vault 2021.
Woo!
All right. Armenia. I have some opinions about this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to save them for our next segment, but Athena Manoukian, a veteran of the British X Factor, has won for Armenia with the song Chains on You. So we don't forget this time. Let's just play a clip
now. Yeah, let's do it right away.
Yeah.
Get it out of the way.
Chains on you.
From Athena. Okay, so tell us.
Can I just say,
ye of no opinions.
Can I just say, I find it really, really funny that Cyprus is sending a German Greek American.
Oh, yes.
Greece is sending a girl from the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Armenia is sending a girl born to Armenian parents, but in Greece.
It's ever since Brexit happened, the EU has gotten crazy multicultural, like, aggressively.
Yeah, it's just collapsed onto itself.
They're
going to
spread
everywhere.
Out that Greek vote too much.
Mini-Europe is going to be wild.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be mixed up.
Woo!
Go to Mini-Europe, everyone.
Do we care?
cannot exhort it enough.
No,
we need more mini Greeks.
Yeah. Eric, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about with these chains? On you?
Well, they're not really on me. I don't know. It has elements that I like, but I just don't really like it.
It's a genre that we don't see at Eurovision, or we haven't seen yet anyway, sort of trap, which we just, it's new. For this, I guess. I think it's going to be really divisive.
Hmm.
I think it'll probably get a decent amount of... I don't even know. That's the thing. It's so different from what we normally see at Eurovision, but it's similar to what we see on global charts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if people are voting for what they think is a Eurovision song, quote unquote, I hate that phrase so much, but I'm just going to, you know, for the sake of argument.
Yeah.
But if they're voting for something that, oh, I could imagine myself listening to that outside of the contest, this may do better than we're expecting.
I can imagine myself listening to it while watching a Fast and Furious movie.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It kind of has that feel. Yeah.
You know how when you think about trap music and you think about a little white girl doing it?
With dreadlocks. Athena doesn't have dreadlocks. But
No, she doesn't.
I will note that this one is in semifinal two, which is the fun semifinal.
Just the one with Switzerland and Finland.
Might
and
have a chance.
They do their stage.
It does
right.
have yes, Switzerland and yes. And yes. Yeah, and Bulgaria, Denmark.
Latvia.
It's got Moldova. It's got San Marino.
Oh, yeah, this is our fun one. This is our wild boy.
Yeah, our friend semifinal two.
Do you think that this is the sort of song, however, that would be liked by, not to say like, is this a traditional Eurovision song, but the sort of people who watch and follow Eurovision, are these the kind of people who will like this song?
I could see people going
younger
for
fans,
it, but not
yeah,
the
not
older.
The
older fans are not going to go for this.
Yeah,
looking at
just see everyone
at,
50 plus is just going to be like, this is the loud music that plays in the cars that linger on the corner that I don't like.
Like people
call the cops on Eurovision.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
People who would be, let's say, interested in Joe Biden wouldn't necessarily.
They would not.
Or the late Michael Bloomberg. I think the...
We're here to drag all the centrist Democrats.
Yes. That's what this podcast is really about.
Because if you stitched them all together...
It was subtle before, no longer. I will say that performance was fairly engaging. I've noticed... We kind of made fun of these last week, and I'm going to make fun of them again, but I do think they kind of have their purpose, which is the folks that release a new My Top, ranking all of the songs that are out within seconds of a new song being released.
Yeah, they are on it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really dedicated to that.
Add one and, more song to the existing
video. Yes. The ones of those I've seen, and I like to check these out just to kind of get a feel for where a few people are at. I also like the ones that include favorite songs from the cycle as a whole, that sort of thing, because it's a great way to check out like 50 songs in 15 minutes and see if there's something really cool that I missed, that sort of thing. So people who do that, you're kind of ridiculous, but also thanks. This song is not high on like any of those.
No.
They're at least from the people who make YouTube rank videos voting block, this ain't it.
Oh, I watched a bunch of those before I came over here. It was consistent. 10th or 11th in every single video.
Yeah. And I would say a lot of times the only song it was ahead of is our next song, France.
Yeah.
Tom Lieb would be without you.
That was Ken Lee.
Yeah, that's what's Tom Lieb now.
Tom Lieb.
I love this one, unveiled at the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, they really went all out for the reveal of this. They said a couple days in advance, we rented out
the entire
Eiffel Tower to show off this song. And I definitely remember thinking like, oh man, they got a good one. Like he's going to be like Je Cherche or even better than that or something like that. It's going to be really, really, really cool. And it sucks.
Can you imagine being like a tourist who goes all the way to France like in February? Like you're kind of on a budget too. You're just like, you know, I'm going to France in winter. I'm visiting Paris. Then you go to the Eiffel Tower and you find out that it's reserved and shut down. And then you, on top of that, find out that it's for this song.
If we're talking about French things, this is like the music equivalent of a grocery bag with a baguette sticking out of it.
Oh, for real?
It's just,
oh, God.
Honestly, I would greatly prefer a baguette.
Is this someone on a Vespa cruising around the Arc de Triomphe, like with a beret on and a striped shirt?
That at least has more French identity.
Okay, I see.
Oh, yeah, this
is just
very French.
Generic.
Hanging off of his bike.
Wow.
No,
it's not especially French. There are some passages in French, but there there are a lot of lyrics in English,
right,
which is a problem for some people. Apparently, the French Minister of Culture said it hurt his ears. I believe that's the quote.
Wow.
He was not a fan of it. I also want to note, here's the other thing about doing the reveal at the Eiffel Tower. Anytime that they were at all zoomed out, which was a lot of the time, here's the thing. He was on one of the, like, he wasn't at the top of it or anything. He was on one of the platforms, couple hundred feet up, something like that. The Eiffel Tower is really, really big. And when you zoom out, like, at all, it just looks really goofy. He looks he looks unbelievably tiny because he's in this gigantic thing. At some point, you can barely even see him because he's just dwarfed by the tower. I get why France would want to do this, because they want to do this for everything. By this, I mean put the Eiffel Tower in it. I also want to shout out, I don't know who did this, but shout out to whoever did this video on Twitter of Tom Leeb performing the song on the Eiffel Tower and then cutting in Samantha Tina screaming at the top of her lungs from her song. And then it cuts to from the G.I. Joe movie where the Eiffel Tower collapsed.
Oh, no.
It was very well done.
The effort.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Shout out to Samantha Tina for already being the meme queen of Eurovision 2020. At least for a week until the Roop won. Yes. now they're the meme queens. Anyway.
What do you think the over-under is on France nul point?
I don't think it'll be nul point. He is still a very engaging performer. His vocals aren't bad. Even the worst song last year, Sisters didn't get, got nul point in terms of the...
televote.
In terms of the televote, but they got something in jury. Yeah. So I think this will get something.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's one of the neighbors 20s. will there's a neighbor something. Or two that
I'm
was
sure
going to give France
Poland
points no
gave
what.
Them 1 point just so there's not a war again.
It seems like the kind of thing that's probably going to end up in the 20s.
I would have.
Oh, yeah, no question.
This is right side
as good as it gets.
It's right side of the board.
That, but the thing is, I will say, I did hear a acoustic version of this, a sort of stripped back, that seemed a little bit better.
Hmm.
I'm almost wondering if they change tacks a little bit and do the opposite of what Serhat did when I didn't know they realized it was better as a disco. If they strip it back and make it more of an intimate song, they could salvage this, I think.
He did say something on his Instagram story along the lines of working on a folk version or something like that. He didn't full on say, we are going to do a new version of the song and send that new version. He could just be recording another version of the song for funsies or whatever.
Different language,
but
you know.
The fact that there is already talk about revamping this is...
not promising.
Yeah, yeah. Eiffel Tower folks must be very upset. Yeah. They thought this was going to finally get people to come see this tower and the song sucked.
You're the organizers of the 1888 World's Fair are up in arms.
Yeah.
I will say the song does have a great songwriting pedigree to it, and it's just a shame that with these great minds, you know, John Lundvik, Amir.
Amir, really?
Amir.
I knew John Lundvik. I didn't
Yeah,
know.
He's one of the lyricists.
Huh.
Tom Leeb himself, Lia Ivan, who I'm not familiar with. Composers were Thomas Giasson and Peter Bostrom, who are both royalty in Eurovision circles. Giasson and Bostrom wrote Euphoria. So the guys who composed Euphoria composed this.
Jeez.
Well, that's weird.
Is this like the kind of pedigree for a song, but instead it's more like the Habsburg dynasty, where everyone has just contributed to everything, and instead we just have crazy boys with big chins who can't talk or eat?
What the hell are you...
Is that what we've done? You were talking about it's got a great pedigree, and I'm like, yeah, well...
So did the Habsburgs.
So did the Habsburgs. Right.
Is John Lundvik just going to lay waste to every big five country? It's just like, oh...
Germany, watch out!
I didn't get to win, and the Mamas are straight to the final.
What'd he do in Spain?
Well, nothing yet.
Nothing yet.
He's making his rounds.
You
think after last year, they would have been like, yeah, no thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I saw somebody note on one of the social medias, probably Twitter, that like, yeah, John Lundvik, he wrote Too Late for Love. And they're like, yeah, but he also wrote Bigger Than Us. Like, you got to think about all of these things, France. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh, yeah, France.
Not to mention Too Late for Love.
I love you. Why?
I know you're not a fan. I liked it.
No, but I mean, just in general, if you just look at, like, performance in terms of scoring and placement, it kind of fell flat.
Here's a question.
Answer.
Do we dare throw to this song?
I think it's only fair.
Dare it! In every breath I breathe, for every time I leave, you are the best in me. So that was Tom France with Lieb, and moving on, semifinal. We had some semifinals. It was a great time at Melfest, if your name starts with M. Mariette and Mohombi advanced. Mariette, who does have dreadlocks.
Is dreadlocks the mood for 2020?
Yeah. Happy for Mariette. She's had a handful of really, really great songs that didn't quite get there. I don't know that this song is necessarily going to be the one, because I don't know that it's good as good as the others, but that's great.
And honestly, she keeps a streak up. She now has gone direct to the final every single time she's done Melody Festival, and if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's her problem. She just needs to not qualify.
Then maybe she'll
Wait, no.
Don't worry, she can wait until she gets the actual cup.
I'll do some math on that. We'll see. Estonia.
When's Melfest going to end? It feels like it's going to go into August.
We've got a semifinal for them this weekend, then we've got a second chance round on the 29th, and then the final is on March 7th.
Oh, and then the No, that's all.
Okay. And then there's the winner's final and loser's final, and then they go into a triple elimination final.
Super double dog final.
That's it. Yeah. We have Estonia. We have Esti Lal.
Yes. We have all of our finalists now. They had they had two semifinals in pretty quick succession, one on the 13th of February, one on the 15th of February, and that determined our 12 finalists. We've got some familiar names in the lineup. Laura, who we know from Verona.
Yeah.
Traffic, who is Stig Rasta's band, with a song actually written by, or co-written, I should say, with Victor Krohn.
Is Stig still pretty actively involved with Traffic?
I think he's sort of an unofficial member now. I don't think he's an active 100% member, but this is a song. He does appear on stage. I think he's sort of back into the fold with this one.
Okay, so he's actually involved in this song.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
Traffic emeritus.
Traffic adjacent.
Anyone else of note in this group of 12?
Other pretty well-known names in the group. The finalist at Esti Lal, I would say Uku Suviste. You can't necessarily knock him out. He's too damn handsome. I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. I want to know what love is.
Man, he looks like he owns a yacht.
Yeah.
That's all. It looks like he works at the country club, but his dad also like owns the country club.
Is his dad, Rule of Threes, coming up, the late Michael Bloomberg?
I hate
yeah,
this.
Well,
yeah, yeah,
we're done with that.
That's
now.
It. Yep.
We have Iceland's not funny anymore. Too. We have Iceland's five finalists.
Yep, we do. In fact, there were two finalists were determined from voting for each of their semifinals, which were on the February 8th and February 15th. But the powers that be also added a wonderful little wild card to make a final of five.
So, it's Hattori again. It's not.
If only.
It's just Matthias.
The two that qualified from the public televote on February 15th are probably the two acts that everybody's got their eyes on for the full final, which will be on February 29th. That was Eva with Oculus Videre, the sort of, describe it, sort of operatic, almost Celtic sounding, very delicate vocals. Mm-hmm. Or Daddy Freyr and Gagnamagdith, which will be translated to Think About Things, which I flip.
What are the things we're going to be thinking about?
How the fact that Russell Crowe was tweeting about Daddy Freyr, of all things.
I'm so glad that Russell Crowe stands Icelandic Eurovision, apparently. That's great. That makes me feel good about the world a little bit. Now, the one that's not Daddy Freyr, not even going to try to say that correctly, has decided to sing in the final in Icelandic, which is cool.
Yeah, so we'll have three songs in English and two songs in Icelandic in the final, which will be very cool to see.
Nice. Two languages. So,
so we'll have our final. We'll have our final for that.
So much going on.
In non-semifinal news, just a little bit of everything now.
Do we want to just honor some of the great songs that have fallen by the wayside.
Yeah, we poured one out for a few songs last week. I think now is time to pour out several more ones. And I'm going to start because Armenia, I am not happy with you, young man. I think you should have picked this other song that was much better than the song. Yeah, see,
yes?
I didn't rehearse this at all.
All right.
Tokyo 9, Save Me. I talked about this in last week's show that it sounded like it could be by The Weeknd or something like that. Performance wasn't spectacular. Athena kind of had hers really down and kind of tightly rehearsed and so on. And I thought maybe Save Me wasn't quite there, but it was fine. I still think the song is considerably better. I want you to save me, and don't let them end me. Don't say I have to go, don't say let me go. Hold my body and save me. Yeah. And it really makes me sad that this didn't make it, because I mean, it's hard to know with really intense banger type songs how well it's going to do in any particular Eurovision field. It is in the second semifinal, which would maybe have been really good for it, but
what we could have had.
Yeah, this is easily in my top five, maybe top three songs of the cycle to this point. I thought there's no way they won't pick this. It's way too good not to. And then
Nope. Seems to be a trend this year.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to be a trend every year.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Almost. Like, if we all like the same songs, and if all the songs ended up in the final, you know, where would we be, you know?
Yeah.
Much better place.
I know. We'd all have a lot better time.
We'd be in Lithuania. That's where we'd be. I mean, we didn't even mention the song that's probably going to win for Estonia. We just talked about the, you know, the more interesting ones,
we
right?
only have so much time
that's
to
true.
Get through 40 countries.
I have a feeling we'll be talking about that song again at some point. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what else we got? What else are we pouring one out for?
We got Bulk Squirt.
Yeah.
Bulk Esquire?
Bulk Esquire, that's him.
Yeah, Fosho Black Square. It's from Ukraine that was in the second semifinal. That was a lost opportunity right there.
Mm. I can't believe it didn't do well at all.
No, it's such a shame.
Yeah, great harmonies, a unique, cool song.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I guess I can kind of see that people wouldn't necessarily go for it because it's very different, but...
It is.
You hit the nail on the head. It's such a missed opportunity.
And especially, you know, there's one thing just to hear the song itself, the 3 minutes that you hear or see. But my friend Ellie, who I've mentioned before on the podcast, my cohort over at ESC Insight, she did a really, really great piece talking about the artistic context of the song.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yes. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Everyone should read this.
Absolutely. ESCinsight.com. Definitely check that out. Black Square isn't just, you know, a metaphor. It's actually referencing a well-known piece of Ukrainian art. One of the very first sort of steps into hyper-modern, at the time, Soviet art. That was literally just a painting of a black square.
It's like a Mark Rothko.
Kind of, sort of. But it was really just a fascinating thing that I knew absolutely nothing about. So major, major kudos to Ellie for finding that story and sharing that with us.
Digging really deep. That was really good. Should we play a clip of
black
clip
square?
Of this one?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. Well, if it's in the museum, then it must be gold, right? I guess I just saw my type of art. Dude from Kyiv, Kazimir is number one in my chart, yeah. I'm just like a black square, yeah. Too bad. I feel really bad for Blink Squirt and God.
Blank Squirrel.
Yeah.
I do love it.
We've got some other news.
Yep, we do. We've gotten word from the Bulgarian delegation that Victoria has selected her song.
But you don't get to know what it is.
Nope. As per usual, they will wait until the very, very last minute to reveal what they are actually serving up. So we'll find that out first week of March, most likely around the 7th.
Sounds like there's going to be a title reveal so we can talk about it more, even though it tells us nothing whatsoever, unless it's very explicit, like I don't know, I'm a Lithuanian basketball player or something. something like
forgotten.
That
forgotten the news cycle has already made me forget.
Never forget
We can play a clip of that again.
No,
okay,
please.
All right. We did see a clip, and we shouldn't play this clip. There was a clip of Georgia singer like on the news recording vocals for his song, and when I was growing up, I was told that if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. What's the next piece?
You know, when you found out that Tourniquet Kipiani was singing for Georgia, if you looked into his back catalog, you knew exactly the kind of song that he was going to be going for. It was going to involve the screaming. It was going to be hard. It was going to be different from the quote-unquote Eurovision norm.
It's probably going to be way better than I think it is, now that I've alluded to the opposite of that. But
I'm really excited, personally.
We'll see. Yeah, isolated vocals, it's tough to tell, but it was very yell-y. So there's that. By the time you hear this, we will know Romania's songs.
Ooh, okay.
Now, Romania has picked their artist, right?
Yes, they picked Roxanne.
Are they going to do something similar where she released all the songs and they do a vote on which song is the best?
I believe that's what they're going to do. They're going to have the internally selected singer and then have a March 1st little mini final with 5 songs with a jury panel and public televote, and we'll get Roxanne's song from that. So we'll see what she serves up.
I can't wait to be disappointed.
Oh no, people died, Sam.
Yeah, we've had a couple of weeks without
it. It's not supposed to happen.
I know.
People don't
die
after 2 weeks.
There's no dying in Eurovision.
Unfortunately, it happens with a contest that's almost 65 years old. We do say goodbye to some beloved characters.
First one that you mentioned, Sam, is Pearl Carr.
Yeah, she was one half of the duet Pearl Carr with her husband Teddy Johnson, who sang for the UK in 1959. The second placed song, Sing Little Birdie, which is just as adorable as it sounds. She passed away this week at 98.
Wow.
Yeah, 98. More power to her.
Sing Little Birdie is what I imagine basically every song title from Eurovision in the 50s to be.
Especially from the UK.
Like 65, yeah.
It basically was the most sweet and lovable little bit of chanson innocence from a couple who were in love, and it just very, very showy and very lovely. And so, yeah, so Pearl Carr passed away this week at age 98. Teddy Johnson actually had passed away about 2 years ago. So they're together again. And can we just play a little clip of Sing Little Birdie? Because it is just so, it's such an evergreen and so unbelievably sweet.
Meet the bird on the branch.
Meet the branch on a tree.
Where we promised our true love for all eternity. Sing little birdie, sing your song. Sing and help our love along. Sing little birdie up above. Sing a song of love.
And yeah, we also missed one a couple weeks ago, but the debut entrant for Yugoslavia when it was competing as a united nation back in 1961, Liljana Petrović, passed away on February 4th. So we tip our hats to the singer of Neke Davne Zvedse, Yugoslavia's very first entry at the Eurovision Song Contest. So yeah.
Oh, znam da si još u oku mome i snu.
Godspeed.
Godspeed.
All right.
Why don't we look ahead?
Yes, we have three more finals this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Three.
Count
That's
them.
So many.
Yes.
First off, Poland. The only one I care about. Because Lake Malawi is back.
Yeah.
And they're better than
ever.
That's actually kind of true. This song that Albert Czerny is shopping around there in Poland.
Yeah.
How close are we? Are we down to three?
We are down to three. So we'll have their winner on Sunday, February 23rd. They're down to three artists. Albert, who may or may not be competing as part of Lake Malawi.
Yeah,
or
we don't know.
Albert and the Lakes Malawi. But he'll be going up against Kasia Dereng and Alicia Szymplińska. Both, I mean, Alicia, I believe, is a veteran of the X Factor or the Voice circuit in Poland, so pretty well known. Kasia, I'm not necessarily sure of her background. Lucy, the Lake Malawi song, is the only one at this point, at the point of recording, that has been released, but it's a total bop.
It's so fun.
It's so fun.
It's a wonderful story, and I love a good commitment to a bit, and this really is an extraordinary...
The video, you mean.
Well, here's
the
thing.
Story, too.
Yeah, so he had a cardboard cutout of Lucy Ayub, who was one of the hosts of... She was the green room host, I think.
Yeah, in Tel Aviv.
In Tel Aviv. I don't know where he got it or why. Well, I think I know why, but I don't know where he got it, but he traveled around with this cutout. After the contest was over, somehow he got this cutout, full size, of Lucy Ayub, and they posted videos of like him taking it through the airport and like taking it home with him and things like he was in love with the Lucy Ayub cutout. And now he wrote a song about it.
Yep.
And it's great. It's really, really great. And
the music video, it just plays with that as well. It's so good. Yeah.
Lyrically, it's hilarious. There's a line that's something like, okay, now can I have a chance now that you're in a song?
It's real.
It's
self-aware.
It's something like that. And I gotta say, what a great, just all of it. This is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
This is very much like what they brought to Eurovision last year. He, they, we don't know.
All of the above, let's be honest.
That
same type of up-tempo, indie pop feel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's very nice.
So here's my question, I guess. What is the voting system like in this final?
I believe it's going to be a jury televote split.
Okay.
Each one of the singers will be singing a cover as well as their potential Eurovision song, and voting will happen. That's really all I know. I'm not exactly sure if it's a separate jury beyond the people who've been acting as the judges and the moderators, I guess you could say.
Oh, like Mr. Spak.
Yeah, Michal Spak, Grammy, and Cleo, all three of whom.
Cleo
oath from
Mishlovania, yes, the butter churning goddess herself. Yes,
missed that.
Yeah,
that's great.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. In all episodes, participants will be judged by a jury made up of former Polish representatives. So yeah, it's all the three of them will be the jury.
So do you think they're going to favor a guy like Albert? Who part of me thinks this is really weird that he has shown up in the Polish national final. Mm-hmm. Basically doing another Czech song to a certain extent.
And then the heels of being in Eurovision.
Yeah. And then once he gets to the final, he's like Malawi again. Like, I don't know. Something about it just seems, I don't want to say wrong, but
I mean, it is a little weird. He would be the first artist, I believe, to return to Eurovision consecutive years for different countries if this goes through, which is a really cool statistic.
Yeah. But like, now, have we had people compete 2 years in a row for the same country?
It's Valentina Minetta.
That's right.
Yeah, she was like 8 years in a row.
Something like that.
Yeah. But I mean, and I realize this doesn't necessarily matter. Is he Polish?
He is not Polish, but he is Polish speaking. He was educated in a Polish speaking school, so he is fluent in the language. I don't know enough about him personally to know if, like, maybe one of his parents is Polish. I don't know.
Well, in that case, I can represent Ireland.
They're at least neighbors, you know. Like, see, it's one thing for him to be representing Poland, potentially. It's another thing for him to be representing, like, Portugal.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Malta.
Yeah. It seems a little bit weird. Do you think that jury of Cleo and Spock and Kirk and McCoy and so on are going to, do you think they're going to favor him because of his experience? Are they going to favor the more,
I don't know,
actual Polish artists, that sort of thing?
I don't know. I mean, the fact is he got through the semifinal.
True.
With their support. Watching them responding to him singing his Beatles cover, he was singing Please Please Me for his semifinal, and they were bopping along with him. They were totally feeling what he was serving. Yeah. So
I guess I just can't decide if he's a total lock, if the Polish public or whatever are going to be like, okay, that's enough.
I don't know.
like we need to send something.
He's come
something
this far.
More
he's
legit.
Come very far.
I know.
Yeah.
My gut says he's got this, but we'll see.
It might be a bit of a knee-jerk reaction from last year, too, because they went with something like very traditional and very Polish.
It was unbelievably Polish.
And they might just be like, well, they got cheated out of it, but they sort of fell on their face with that one, and there might be like, oh, maybe we should try something a little different, more upbeat, more energy.
Yeah.
Well, if that's what they want, I mean, we haven't heard the other songs yet, but I feel like if that's what they're going for, this one is going to be tough to top.
Agreed.
We've gotten this far, by the way, without mentioning the other songwriters.
For Poland?
For Lucy.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
including people such as Cesar Samson.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, for what?
Yeah.
And Joust.
Yep. It's got an incredible pedigree.
Who's Joust?
You know that game with the ostrich?
I am aware of
that.
It became sentient and it now writes Eurovision songs.
Behind Grab the Moment for Norway 2017. So
he was the dude with the LED mask?
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
Yeah. But he's done a whole bunch of work with Eurovision alums since then. He did a great cover, not a cover, a great song with Christian Costa.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, Burning Bridges, which was a great, great song. Mm-hmm. So, we shall see what happens.
Next, we have Slovenia.
Uh-huh. Which is weird because we're coming into Slovenia semi-blind. Got about a minute of each of the songs that are in the national final, but we don't have the songs in full. I suppose it's sort of to keep people interested, but without giving any song any too much of an advantage, I suppose. Keep things pretty fresh. So we don't know the full songs, but what we do know is that the host of the show is amazing.
Tell me more.
This is a guy by the name of Clemens Slakonia, who I have been a fangirl of for a couple of years now. He has been, he's hosted at EMA a couple of times in the past, but he's known for cover songs, but great multilingual parody songs. A couple of years ago, he did a one-man band, like Live Aid kind of thing, talking about how much Slovenia was such a great song and how they should win Eurovision, including covers of, or he impersonated, let's see, there was Bono, Elton John, James Blunt, Lady Gaga.
James Blunt?
It was.
What do you gotta impersonate?
It was like 2013.
We got enough of him, haven't we? Okay, yes.
He's also the guy who gave us the incredible song "Putin Put Out," where he impersonated Vladimir Putin talking about how much he was going to take over the world.
Oh, I thought this was like.
And he's not dead.
I thought this was "Putin Put Out,"
where you're making love to a bunch of cheese fries.
Yeah,
you are.
God.
It seems
no shame. No shame. Danny, this is why we're friends.
Good.
Yeah, we missed you, by the way.
Yeah, we really did.
Yeah, we were so on the rails It was miserable.
I know. But yeah, so Clemens Laconia, even if you don't care for that much of the Slovenian songs, watch it for Clemen. If there's any, my personal druthers, again, I don't know the songs that well. I'm hoping Lena Kuduzovic takes it because she was also in Junior Eurovision 2015.
Oh, against Destiny?
Against Destiny.
Ooh.
Lena came
fight.
Lena came in third place, which is the best that Slovenia has done in any Eurovision singing competition.
I have high hopes for Slovenia. Their last few have been so good.
Yeah.
And so underrated. Mm. Plus, I hear Ljubljana is lovely. Lovely. What else we got?
We got Ukraine.
Not much here.
Yeah, this one seems close. I think even the betting odds can't quite decide who might come out on top of this one. Are we hoping for anyone in particular?
You know what? Since the first semifinal, Kruz 99 has kind of been going on in my head, and it did take both the televote and the jury vote from its semifinal, but I know that a lot of people have been looking at Tvorchi and Bonfire, which also had jury and televote support. I say for sheer novelty value, you can't count out Vegan.
For sure. Oh, for sure.
Faux show.
Yes.
No, they got eliminated.
I like Tvorchi's song. I thought his performance was not very good. I was amazed that he think he topped both votes or was close to the top in both votes.
Yeah.
In the second semifinal.
Yeah.
On what really felt like a not especially strong performance. Vocals weren't that great. The whole thing just kind of seemed fine, and it was a good song carrying them, which I guess is fine. He would have time to sort that out.
Right.
But you mentioned 99 has been stuck in your head. I have had the exact same problem, and I really do mean problem with Vegan.
Oh no.
This, oh my god.
You're just downing bits of beef jerky just out of spite.
It's so ridiculous. And the live performance, so like in the music video, the video is just her in front of a green screen doing this weird sort of dance thing with her arms that just seem like she's too white to do anything else. And she has like five or six backing dancers and they're all doing it. It's crazy.
Is this even dancing?
I kind of.
But there's something oddly charming about it.
Yeah, I simultaneously never want to hear this song again and desperately hope that it wins. That's Eurovision.
Do it for the bit.
Yeah.
Do it for the bit. It's gonna be a great bit.
She's vegan. I don't know if she's told you, but she's vegan.
She really did. One of our last bits of info is just Germany. We actually have finally heard from. They were quiet for a little bit, which worried us.
You never know.
Yeah, so Germany will be revealing whatever the heck it is that
Sisters
they're doing.
Sisters 2!
Brothers.
Sisters 2. Brothers.
Just that. That's it. That's the song. That's the artist. That's all.
So on 223, I mean, they appoint, they select.
It seems like they really haven't told us very much of anything other than the fact that they will be having some sort of like a 45-minute program on the 27th.
I'm really curious to see what they fill that out with.
Exactly.
It's a black and white.
Also, that's a Thursday. That's like a Thursday night.
Which isn't unusual for Germany in their national finals. But I mean, if you really think about it, like,
it's on Friday, they got Wild. They're not at home with TV.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of the TV shows in the U.S., they're like the biggest entertainment shows. Like, The Masked Singer in the U.S. is on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest shows that aren't necessarily...
Folks are going to be home.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So.
Yeah, like, when they moved Law & Order to Friday, I knew the end was coming.
Okay.
And then it did.
Never forget.
Let's see. We have Iceland and Estonia again on this list, so I guess we have to talk about them again, right?
No.
Anyway, no. Iceland... Oh, no? Okay.
I mean, I would talk about Dali Freyr anytime, honestly. That song is fantastic.
I think the last bit of news that we have to touch on is Portugal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Their national final, Festival de Canção, that is getting started this weekend, which I'm very excited about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
There's some really fun stuff from Portugal this year. But I have no idea.
What's Portugal going to throw at us this time?
I mean, they have a song that is exceedingly cutesy. French.
Actually, it would be great if they did send Passepartout in order to balance out the non-Frenchness of the French song.
Oh, yeah, it's way more French than Tom French.
Yeah.
And they've got a song that reminds me of Igranka in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
They have Rebellion. I don't even know how to describe Rebellion.
Rebellious?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be a good one.
It'll be good. Also have Melfest Round 4. We will finally hear the last of the songs. We will have definitely heard Sweden's song. It'll be a few weeks before we know what it is. Hannah Firm is apparently still a big favorite to win this thing, despite us not having heard the song yet, but I don't know. They're hyped for Hannah. That's another free one. Scandinavia. although I did see she's no longer first in the betting odds. You know who is? It's Laser Boobs! Laser Boobs is in first place in the betting odds for Melfest.
That's Dotter, if anybody's keeping track and didn't see the actual video. But
Laser Boobs. Laser Hashtag boobs. Laser Boobs.
Hey, you know what? I'd be all right with Dotter taking it. I think it's
yeah, awesome. Just think about how many more lasers they could have on the big stage. More lasers, more boobs, just all of it. More everything.
Oh, well, that's a good place to stop.
Yeah.
And on that note, guys.
Somebody plug the socials because I'm too tired.
Yeah. All right. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at 12pointsUSA. Email us directly at 1212pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Check out our website. Hit us up on social media. You can rate the podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. We'd love to know what you guys are thinking.
Yeah, you can yell at me. I didn't do an offensive accent this time. Or I think I might have.
No, you did something about old people not liking Armenia.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. Bring back a proud tradition.
What if we just find your American accent offensive?
That's fine. I'm sure the Brits do.
There we go. And on that note, everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. But until then, America,
stop listening now.
Me also think ladies sing good with her face.
You're dumb. You're really dumb. Do you know that?
Yeah, let's not use that.